Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Well, it's all over but the shouting. Hey, we're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of April 9th and 10th. Again, a happy new year to all in Parallel Universe of Rack and Fin Radio when the season opens. Indeed, cause for a happy new year. Statewide trout season opened today. A lot of fish stocked here this past week, especially in South Jersey. But let's right now, let's just key in real quickly on the new Fluke, a.k.a. Summer Flounder, and sea bass regs for the Fluke. The first time in history, there's a slot limit. It's a 149-day season. Check that out. You had a, 16.2% bump in allocation, whatever. So we're looking at a slot limit, two fish at 17 to 17.99 inches, and one fish 18 inches or greater. The bitching and the moaning is going on. They finally have a slot limit. Other guys didn't want a slot limit. It's crazy. Like I said, it's all over, but the shouting season kicks off May 2nd. Get your stuff and get it now. Get your gulp, get your fish bites, get everything going. Get your, those SNS bucktails, they're going to be deadly. The SNS jig heads with the gulp on here. Now for sea bass, the limit was jumped up from 12 and a half to 13 inches for all the seasons. Here's what it looks like. May 17th to June 19th, 10 fish at 13. July 1st to August 31st, 2 fish at 13. October 7th to October 26th, 10 fish at 13. And November 1st to New Year's Eve, 15 fish again at 13. But back to the trout, a lot of fish out there. 250,000 for today, opening day. We're stocked. That's a 70,000 fish bump. And yeah, they brought the stocking schedule is back to a weekly thing. Next 3 weeks, 4 weeks in South Jersey, waters are going to be getting hit on a weekly basis. And the bonus broodstock program is back. Gotta love that. Birch Grove Park Pond. Okay, now they're getting 580 for today. In addition, in that amount, are 53-year-old breeders. These fish are anywhere from 18 to 26 inches, up to 7-8 pounds. Shaw's Mill Pond, 760, again, with 50 breeders. And Crystal Lake out there, Burlington County, 800, again, with the 50 breeders in there. Now, they're going to be stocked. Birch Grove's going to get hit again this Wednesday. Shaw's Mill Pond's going to get hit Thursday. Same thing with Crystal Lake. Some other fave waters on the Rack and Fin roster. Pond Lodge Pond out here in Avilas. What a place. Got 710 is going to get stocked this Thursday. Pahakon Lake, Route 9 there in Tucker. 910! Whoa! Well, you got to battle the cormorants and the ospreys there, like other places. That's going to get Wednesday. Iona Lake out there on Route 40. What a sleeper. What a great little place. 640. That's going to get stocked this Tuesday. And South Vineland Park Pond, a.k.a. a park. Like, that's a lake. That's not a pond. It gets stocked with 700, and that's going to get hit again this Thursday. Now, Tom's River is on that, what I call the Hot 14, the premier trout streams. That's going to be stocked Monday. And again, it's a 5 p.m. opening because it's one of the closed waters. So Monday, you can't fish there until 5 p.m. For today, it was stocked with 1,890 in the trout conservation area at the base of Riverwood Park, down to 571 there. That was stocked with 630, but there's still plenty of holdovers in there. Okay, man, go, we got a lot of stuff going on. Really jam-packed show. Grab that cup. Grab that Red Bull. Coming up, Frank Mahalik. Big Togger Frank, man. Talking late April, Tog Tactics, Nick Cicero from Tsunami. They're a great line of Salt X saltwater and freshwater hooks. They are out there now. And we're going to wrap it up, too. We have Chris Smith talking pre-spawn bass in South Jersey. I think we have time for some fishing reports. Grab that cup, grab that rebel. We'll be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Happy New Year, trout time.
When you need to know, it's WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app.
Ding dong! Spring's here! The flowers are blooming, the bees are buzzing. The sun is shining. It's spring-a-ling-a-ding-dong. And Maury's Piers is taking 15% off season passes, water park admission, ticket cards, and more. Now through April 22nd, you can save big. At 15% off, it's time to spring for a summer full of rides. Slides, pizza pies, and Curly's fries. Visit mauryspiers.com now and save.
When you need advanced heart care, everything comes to a halt. You have a serious decision to make. So you do your research, and all roads lead to Penn Medicine, the region's only nationally ranked heart and vascular center. We perform the most advanced heart procedures in the region, leading to high success rates for even the most complex cases. And through clinical trials, we develop and perfect the latest innovations. For peace of mind when you need it most, visit PennMedicine.org/advancedheartcare to schedule an appointment.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Okay, we have 2 weeks left. I know trout season opens today, but we're talking tog here with the tog master, the pro togger, Frankie Mihalik. 2 weeks left in the tog season. Now, this is the time when the bite's going to increase. Hopefully, the water's getting warmer on the bottom. Tog are on the move. Again, joining us on the line right now is Frank Mihalik, a.k.a. the pro togger. Frankie's on the rod designing team of Century Rods. He has a tog rod out there, people you cannot believe are tog rods. We'll get into that in a little bit. He's also a seminar speaker and a writer for various fishing publications. Pro Togger, how you doing? Thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin this morning, brother.
Thanks for having me, Tom. How are you?
Lock, cocked, and ready to rock, man. 2 weeks left in the tog, Frankie, before then you have that one fish thing that starts in the summer. But it is crunch time now, Frank. I'm going to get right to the questions we discussed. Now, April togging, next 2 weeks. How's this different from like the late November, December, January togging? What's the dealio, bro? Go.
Oh, you know, Tom, it kind of comes in just like it went out in the winter. Same rig, same jigs. You're doing pretty much the same thing, but you got to add a little bit of different bait in there, too. We use a lot more clams for bait in the springtime to get the fish going. And believe it or not, cooked shrimp. Sometimes these blackfish go crazy over cooked shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Walmart, buy the bag out of the frozen seafood section. And I don't mean, you know, I don't mean raw shrimp. I mean actually cooked shelled shrimp like mm-hmm. they're ready for cocktail sauce. I don't know why, but it's true.
But Frank, is there any type of crab crunch going on this time of year?
Oh, of course. Yeah, they're still eating the white crabs. They're still eating the green crabs. And that goes without saying. I usually bait up with a piece of crab on the hook first, and then I'll put like a half a green crab or a quarter of a white crab to get the fish going.
Now, Frank, you're one of the best in the biz doing this. You've been doing this for decades and excelling at it. Your take, Frank, your opinion on, you know, in the springtime, the togs' mouths or jaws are sore or lips are sore or teeth are falling out. What's the story with that? What's your take on you hear this all the time.
I've seen it. I've heard it. It seems like in the springtime, their mouths are a little more pink. That may be from them kind of being aggressive towards each other, getting ready to spawn. You know, you're kind of in the pre-spawn condition right uh-huh. now. So I think they're more just waking up from their winter sleep, and they're going in there and getting ready to chow down. So they definitely do have an interest in softer baits now, but they eat soft baits all the time. The reason they don't use soft baits much in the fall is mostly because the dogfish will just cover you up and go crazy.
There you go, man. I hear they're out already, Frank, in numbers. All right, Frank, now here's sure. here's the big debate, Franco. Where are we going? Rig or a jig or rig? Last 2 weeks of the season in April, Frank, fishing deeper water, shallow water, sticky structure. What do you got, my brother?
We're always on the sticky structure, you know, always, yeah. always. Usually on the reef sites because it's the greatest concentration of fish and we don't have to run too far. I really prefer the jig at times when there's lighter current. If they're just not eating the bait the right way on the rig, if they're coming up and just pecking at it and then they leave it alone, at that time the jig can really, really do well. I really prefer to do it on days when it's light current. And okay. it really has to do with where I'm fishing at on the boat too. When I'm fishing a rig, I prefer to fish up next to the house. I like to cast forward, get up there by the anchor lines. I'm fishing a spot where really nobody else on the boat is fishing.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm fishing a jig, a lot of times that jig is being swept in the current. It's being swept towards the back of the boat. So if I'm fishing on one of the stern corners or across the back of the boat, it's much easier for me to control the wash of that jig, how it moves on the bottom, so that it doesn't get pulled in the rest of my charter, the rest of my charter partners' lines. I'm not there to screw them up. I'm supposed to know what I'm doing. So, but if I'm on the back of the boat, it's a lot easier to control that flow.
Okay, Joe's on a Rack and Fin line this morning. Very special guest, Frankie Mihalik, a.k.a. the Pro Togger. Frank's on the rod designing team for Century Rods. We'll get into that in a minute. A seminar speaker, as you've seen his bio line in many articles and various fishing publications. But Frankie, before I want to get to, Europe, and then here's the thing with Frank, people, you got to love it. He shares the knowledge. wants people to catch tog. Right before we get to that, jig color, make a difference. I've seen, God, there's from the plain leadhead to fluorescent purple to whatever out there. You think the color makes a difference, or is it the bait combination of both?
I think it's both. I think there are times when, when the fish are really attracted to that orange or yellow color of the crab guts, then I want to stick with that color. But one thing you really need to be concerned with here is, again, it's more trying to stay away from the dogfish. Uh-huh. Where if you're using glow beads, if you're using glow color jigs, if you're lifting your bait up off the bottom, those dogfish will come in there and swarm under your boat. And then the blackfish don't have a chance to get to the bait. They have to stay hunkered down in the hole so they're not getting attacked by the blackfish. Mm-hmm. So I tend to stay away from shiny. I tend to stay away from glow. I really like either a plain lead or like a black mussel color.
There you go.
Just like a plain black, not shiny. That seems to work best for me as far as keeping those dogfish away and giving the blackfish a chance to eat it. Sometimes the glow does really, really good. But at the same time, it depends. If there's dogfish around, you got to stay away from that.
That's it, Frank. To the rigs. Snafu, double hook, single hook. What's your fave when you go to the rig?
Snafus are great. Single hooks are great as far as not having to worry about anything pop off. Then again, the state record was caught 2 years ago on one of my slider rigs that I tied. So personally, I use slider rigs and I use sweetheart rigs, which is a sweetheart rig is simply the top hook is inverted. It's put on the opposite direction. Whereas the slider rig, both hooks stack up against each other. Slider rig is great for two halves of a crab, two separate baits. If you're putting two hooks in one crab, I really prefer the sweetheart rig. The leader lies nice and straight. It's mm-hmm. easy to tie. Tie a slider rig and tie a snafu. You can tie three slider rigs in the time it takes you to tie one snafu. So that'll get you where you need to go.
Yeah, Frank, now you have a habit. Habit's not strong enough a word. You catch a lot of big tog, Mihalik. You catch a lot of big fish. Targeting where? This time, 2 weeks left in the season, water getting a little warmer. Where are you targeting the tog now? Around heavy, like metal structure, tanks, concrete, pilings? What's the deal?
Yeah, and anything offshore. We're usually out in like 60 feet of water or more normally, because the biggest blackfish are always caught off of the reefs. There's been a lot of people that say different things at different times of the year, but I'm telling you, there are not many. There used to be this misnomer too that everybody said, oh, the blackfish come into spring inshore to spawn in the spring. That's not really true. Mm-hmm. The little tiny blackfish do. When you fish inshore long enough, which I fished inshore many a years, I mean for like 8 or 10 years when my son played ice hockey, and I didn't have the money to go jump on charter boats. I think the biggest fish I saw inshore caught by anybody on any other boat was like 8 pounds. Mm-hmm. That's it. The big fish do not come inshore. The big fish actually live on a wreck. They spend their life on the wreck. They spawn on the wreck. I've talked to captains who've seen blackfish spawning 30 miles offshore in 150 foot of water.
Whoa!
And they see the female coming towards the surface with the males nudging her. And, so they're spawning where they live. The little ones come inshore and they go offshore. The bigger ones find a home in a wreck. They stay there, and that's where they live their lives. So we spend most of our time on the reef sites and further out.
Mm-hmm. Now, Frank, all your time on the water, I hear it in different meetings. I talk to biologists, whatever, and tog anglers such as yourself. Seems like the nuances now are that the tog are in decline, the stocks are falling or diminishing. What's your take on that, Frank?
There's a lot of things coming at it, Tom. I mean, mismanagement from National Marine Fishery Services is probably number one. I mean, fluke season ends in September. Sea bass needs to be open in October. Last year, fluke season closes. Sea bass season is closed. The only thing open is blackfish and porgy. So you got every guy with his own boat in the water. Every charter boat, every head boat is fishing for cog, and the limit's one fish a day, and everybody's happy with it. But we're literally beating the hell out of the inshore blackfish. If we could make that sea bass open in October, you get sea bass and you get a little tog and you get a little bit of porgy, and maybe it won't be so bad on them. But that's really, that's just brutally pounding these fish stocks.
It is.
A couple other things. A couple other things, too, that people really don't think about. The underground live fish market has been going on for years. Small boats railed with guys and huge live wells show up under bridges at slack tide. They fill up on tiny fish. They leave when the tide gets going, so they're there for an hour. This same boat does this every slack tide period. You see it over and over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
There's fish tanks in markets, pet stores, garages. They're selling live blackfish. I've seen this every season since the 80s.
Wow.
Huge busts happen. Boats get fined, but it still goes on. And if these people are not following regulation, do you think that they're worrying about the season being open? I don't really think so.
Exactly right. We're speaking with Frank Mahalik. He is a pro togger, Frank Mahalik. You've seen, well, if you've ever been to one of his summer AC boat show, I think if they had it, listen to me, Mahalik, I'm telling you this, if they had it at opening or a half hour before closing, you'd still pack that room. That whole area is when you're giving a seminar. And Frank's also on the rod design team for Century Rods, seminar speaker, fishing writer. We're talking tog here, 2 weeks left in the season. Well, Frank, on an individual basis, individual togger, be it novice, be it pro, whatever, expert, what do you say? What can the individual angler do to help maybe stanch the decline?
My guys, my charter group, we have a self-imposed gentleman's limit where we're just going to keep two male fish per day. That's it. Fish over 8 pounds go back. And we're doing the best that we can do to make sure we preserve the stocks. If National Marine Fishery Services takes some of the pressure off these fish, if we have a really good fall bass run, that'll take a lot of pressure off the fish, too. Sure. The guys will start trolling for bass. People will be on the beach fishing for bass, and these togs won't have so much pressure on them.
Well, Frank, well, you're at all the meetings and everything. What are you hearing down the road from Marine Fisheries Council, ASMFC, NMA, whatever? About are there, you think there's some more tog restrictions coming pretty soon, the next year or two?
Well, you know, they overmanage everything to a point where they think they're helping, and in reality they're hurting. Like this recent situation with the blackfish. I mean, the only reason we have that one fish limit from August through October is in the spirit of letting the inshore guys, the guys who are fishing off the jetties, letting them keep a fish for the dinner table.
Sure.
The guys on the boats aren't really too interested in catching one fish. Why that fishery is open to boat anglers, I don't really know. If they could make that a land-based angler fishery only, that would eliminate so much pressure on those fish.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, Frank, we're up against a hard break here. We're speaking with Frank Mahalik. Listen, great guy. Expert fisherman and just willing to share the knowledge up, down, and sideways. As you know, listening to this interview, well, Frank, let's get to Century Rods. Your deal with them, your tog rod series, whatever you have going. I see them at the shows. Absolutely phenomenal. A constant work in progress. I know you're a taskmaster when it comes to quality and performance. New stuff coming down the line. What do you got?
Oh, we got crazy stuff going on with Century, Tom. And the reason I'm such a good fit with Century is because Century lets me get involved in the process. I mean, for those that don't know, the Century Rod Manufacturing Company, they don't just make fishing rods. They make aerospace and Formula One chassis and body parts in the UK. Fishing rods became like a byproduct of them. I've been using Century fishing rods for about 10 years or so. When at a show, I spoke with the U.S. importer of Century rods, Ryan White. He's from Hatteras Jacks in the Outer Banks.
Right, yeah.
Ryan assembles these small batch custom design rods. And after a few prototypes, Frank Mahalik's Pro Togger was ready, and it's kind of taken the blackfish world by storm. But I don't just want free rods. I don't want to go catch fish and tell a company how great they are. I do really want to challenge and improve every aspect of the gear.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be involved in the design of the blank and in the design of the layout and the configurations. Sometimes the smallest design change makes a good product a great product.
Exactly right.
Century manufactures each different blank one at a time on its own mandrel, and they use this thing called an autoclave, completely different than what any other rod building is doing. What the autoclave does is it simultaneously puts pressure on the inner walls of the blank while a vacuum is applied to the outer walls of the blank. They then apply heat, and then they pump the blank full of resin. It sounds like there's a lot of stuff going on, but the results are an exceptionally thin, light, and strong blank without any voids in the walls. So it truly makes it a best-in-class situation. As far as manufacturing a fishing rod, this takes it to, like, a whole new level.
Exactly, Frank. I've seen your demonstrations at the seminars. This is phenomenal. Century Rods, check out the Frank Mihalik Prototyper. Frank, thanks for joining us, sharing your tips and techniques. Hope to see you on the water one day this spring, buddy.
Thanks, Tom. Always got a spot for you.
We'll see you, man. Be good.
See ya. You too.
Frank Mihalik, great guy. Up against a break. Grab that cup. Grab that rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
The WPG Talk Radio app is your connection to South Jersey's talk station. Get free, unlimited local and statewide news from New Jersey's largest radio news team. Download all of our local shows as podcasts and more, powered by Ambient Comfort. For installation to repairs and maintenance, give Ambient Comfort Heating and Cooling a call today at 856-213-6586. AmbientComfortNJ.com. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, back inside Rack and Fin, ready to meet Tom P. Weekend of April 9th and 10th. Okay, enough talk about tog, enough talk about trout. Let's get to the bass. The largemouth kind. South Jersey offers some of the best largemouth bass fishing in the Mid-Atlantic region. Nowhere to go. Hey, pre-spawn time is happening. If people I spoke to said they're already seeing indications that the spawn may be a little early for my end, put a call in to Chris Smith, Principal Fisheries Biologist, New Jersey Division of Fish and Wildlife, Bureau of Freshwater Fisheries, tournament bass angler, former two-time New Jersey Bass Angler of the Year. Chris knows wherever he speaks, in the field and on the water. In fact, when he's on the water, man, creates disorder on the water with those largemouth. Chris, how you doing? Thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin. How you been, bud?
I'm doing great, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Before we get going, how's Michelle, those lovely girls?
Everybody's doing well. Thanks for asking.
Okay, let's get to the pre-spawn tactics, Chris. The very capricious weather patterns. It's friggin' freezing, then it's cold, and it's freezing, and it's raining. Sun's out. How's this affecting bass behavior, bud?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, definitely the spring that we've had so far over the last couple of weeks, we had a big warm-up, big warming trend a couple of weeks ago. We actually saw some spawning activity, from what I understand. Didn't see it myself, but, had some texts and stuff. There's definitely a couple bass on beds. Parvin State Park had a couple.
There you go.
I imagine, probably Rainbow Lake probably had a couple too. But we had a big cold front come through. Definitely dropped the water temperature back from the, high 50s all the way down into the low 40s. So that really set things back definitely set things back a little bit. So, right now we had some rain. We had a lot of rain, actually.
Yeah.
Dirtied the water up. We got high water conditions right now. But we have a warming trend, here in the forecast. Things are going to get good here over the next couple of days. Getting really excited.
Now, Chris, those bass that were on the beds and that water temperature dropped, did they back off?
Yeah, absolutely. It depends on how committed they are to the beds. And those early fish that come up, they kind of get up and they start sniffing around, start rubbing up some beds. But they haven't really spawned yet. They go through the motions, but they kind of know instinctually that it's too early and, that they just shouldn't do their thing yet. So, they kind of wait. Those fish don't spawn as quickly as the later fish will. They kind of will pull off. So they'll probably be the first ones to pull back up, here in the next couple days.
Now, Chris, this is like late winter, early spring where we have. This is the prime time, correct? Correct me if I'm wrong, to catch the biggest, aka heaviest fish of the year, the Agladden females. This prime time?
Absolutely, absolutely. Coming off of the, you know, when they do their fall feed into the winter as the bass, you know, bass stay pretty active all winter long, particularly when they're not even under the ice. You know, pretty popular species through ice fishing.
Yep.
You know, they stay feeding all winter long. So, you know, they continue to put on the weight. So the transition between the late winter feeding time and the early pre-spawn, you know, when they start putting on egg mass, that is absolutely the heaviest that the fish will be all year long.
Now, Chris, are they aggressive? I mean, it's not really, the water temperature is not really conducive for them to be you know, rocking and rolling. Is it a finesse situation, or are those fish getting more aggressive by the day? Temperature goes up a degree or two, and it correlates to them getting like, you know, hey, let's kick some ass. What do you think?
These fish are aggressive. Largemouth particularly, largemouth are aggressive as soon as the water gets into the high 40s. High 48 to 52 degrees in the pre-spawn is a real key water temperature, you know, all over the country, particularly in this area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see fish, you know, devouring, you know, big baits, you know, big giant swim baits, 8, you know, 9, 10 inch long swim baits, mimicking gizzard shad, golden shiners.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, they like a big meal, and they're super aggressive this time of year. As we get closer to the spawn, they get a little more finicky. You know, as the water temperature gets warmer, it's kind of counterintuitive to what we believe. We think that water temperature was getting warmer, fish are getting more active, but they're getting closer to the spawn, so that their transition goes from feeding to spawning. That's when they get a little more finicky, and that's what we're going to be working on over the next couple weeks.
Okay, Chris, does finicky correlate to more finesse tactics, more downsized tackle, lighter tackle, smaller baits?
Yeah, absolutely. I think their strike zone gets a lot smaller. So places where the water remains clear, you know, even in your cedary, you know, South Jersey, cedary colored lakes, you know, they can be clear and still be stained with tan and stain, but they can be clear. That's where some of your finesse techniques are going to come in, where you have a little more stained water, maybe someplace like Sunset Lake over in Bridgeton or the Salem Canal.
Mm-hmm.
High water conditions right now, a little muddy water. You know, then you're going to be able to throw more some reaction baits, spinner baits, chatter baits, you know, kind of come into play a little more.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Joining us on the Rack and Fin line is Chris Smith, Principal Fisheries Biologist, Division of Fish and Wildlife's Bureau of Freshwater Fisheries. Tournament bass angler, former two-time New Jersey bass angler. Here we're talking pre-spawn bass tactics. So, Chris, it's predicated on the water, the venue, I realize that. Where are guys and gals looking for bass this next week or two? Where are we targeting?
This is probably, you know, particularly with the conditions that we're dealing with right now, with the rain that we just had. We had probably, you know, some areas had upwards of a couple inches of rain,
right.
You know, maybe 2-3 inches of rain. Water levels high. The streams are all high for all of our trout streams are high right now. You know, that high dirty water with a warming trend brings fish shallow really fast. No matter what time of year, whether it's fall, summer, you know, spring. High rising water brings fish to the bank, particularly in the spring when they're getting ready to spawn. So I'd say, you know, most anglers are going to catch your fish in less than 5 feet of water, you know, close to the, you know, within a cast distance of the bank, whether you're fishing from shoreline or fishing from the boat, you know, you're going to want to target the shoreline right now.
Chris, weeds have a role in the game now.
Yeah, absolutely. Any cover that's in a lake, you know, depending on what the predominant cover is going to be, if it's someplace that has, you know, submerged vegetation, you know, they're going to go towards that. You know, we don't have many lakes in South Jersey that have, you know, hydrilla or milfoil or that sort of thing. But, you know, yellow water lily or spatterdock, you know, those pads, as they're first coming up, you know, in the spring, as they're just starting to break the surface, we even get a lot of spawning activity around those lily pads. So that's key, finding those pad clumps. Anytime you have, you know, lay down trees or brush or, you know, even if it's a small little stick on the bank, if it's a bank that's pretty much void of cover, that'll be the key area to target.
Okay, Chris, here's the deal. Now, water clears up, the water table lowers. What? Give me three or four of your top baits, top tags that you're going to use for the shallow water largemouths at this stage of the game.
you know, definitely as the water's clearing up, you know, you can't beat a wacky, you know, a wacky rig worm, you know, whether it's a Senko or any other brand, you know, weightless, you know, stick worm, you know, definitely a great bait, you know, whether it's Texas rigged, wacky rigged, you know, with a weight, without a weight, it's just a great technique in the spring, particularly when they have a real strong, small strike zone, and they're a little finicky. Great little subtle bait that, you know, that works pretty much dirty water, clear water. It works everywhere. You know, those probably those little more aggressive fish sometimes early morning hours. You can still catch a couple fish on a crankbait, chatterbait, you know, spinnerbait. You know, before they go in the beds, you know, once they go in the beds, they get a little, you know, a little more finicky, like I said, and, you know, creature baits, you know, like a beaver or something like that, you know, but will come in.
Okay. I guess you turned me on a couple of years ago, this Ned rig thing, early season, I'm finding that, whoa, are loving the Ned, man.
The Ned's a great technique, you know, particularly cold water, cold water, you know, early fall, you know, all the way through the, you know, through the winter, you know, when they go into a little bit deeper areas, they're not really active. They're not moving a lot, you know, and even when you know exactly where they're sitting, you know, in deep holes, maybe along like some pilings or a bulkhead or something like that, you know, the Ned's a great finesse technique.
Okay, Chris. Before I let you go, give us three or four of your prime South Jersey waters right now, next couple of weeks, four to pre-spawn larger, targeting that biggest fish of the season. What do you got?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, over the years, I've kind of thrown out the, you know, a lot of the same places, but, you know, right now we're seeing, you know, some of my favorites are, you know, the fisheries are doing really well right now.
Yep.
I'm seeing some pictures of some really big fish being caught from, you know, from a number of these places, places like Parvin State Park, as I already mentioned.
Yeah.
Great place. Bass, 6-7 pounders are being caught, you know, all through last fall, you know, big swim baits, you know, the finesse techniques like the Ned. And, you know, I think that, you know, definitely over the next week or so, you know, somebody's going to catch a 7 or 8 pounder again, you know, probably, you know, pre-spawn or spawning, you know, at that lake. The DOD lake, you know, one of our other wildlife management areas.
Out there, Pedricktown.
That would be another key place. The Salem Canal, we've already had some tournaments, you know, tournament results coming in. We're hearing about a good couple year classes of fish that are coming up at the Salem Canal. Right now, some small fish, but looks good for the future. And some big fish are being caught. So that's another one I'd target. Rainbow Lake. One of our WMAs.
Right.
Again, some good results coming out of there. Over in Atlantic County, I'd say maybe Lake Lenape. I think there was a bass over 6.5 pounds that was caught the last couple weeks in a tournament.
Yep.
And then I'm gonna round it out with my favorite, you know, my favorite lake, South Jersey, Union Lake. I mean, it's our biggest lake at 898 acres. Definitely my favorite lake that I fish, you know, regularly. And I think that one's got the real potential for a big one this year, too. Well, on top of those smallmouth, you know, as an added bonus.
Oh, well, Chris, well, hats off to you, the division of the Bureau, especially just making South Jersey, all of New Jersey, really, but South Jersey is a destination place for quality largemouth bass fishing, Chris. I swear by it. You know me, Chris, I get up and down the state, and Union in particular, Chris, Lenape in particular, right there at Mays Landing. Listen, it's a great place. What gets me, though, Chris, I know we're up against heartbreak here. I got over there. Okay, come on. That Parvin, that's what, 6, maybe 7 feet of the deepest, how that keeps, also Assanpink, was a lot bigger, but how it keeps producing quality fish like that is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, just a testament to our our quality stocking program that we have for supplementing. You know, we supplement some of our largemouth bass natural reproduction with some additional stocking. You know, every few years we put some additional fish in there. The trophy bass regulations that we have in place and the conservation ethic of a lot of our anglers releasing those fish. You can harvest when you want, but definitely getting, taking care of those fish during tournaments and getting them back in the water safely is definitely key.
Bass fishing South Jersey firing in all cylinders, people. Okay, Chris, you take care, man. See you in the water, brother.
All right.
Take care. Trout, wet trout. I know. I'm like a pinball in the studio. Okay, be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's talk station.
Fox News. until NATO. Global condemnation after dozens of people were killed when missiles hit a train station in eastern Ukraine. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen, who was in Ukraine Friday.
It is appalling. It is horrible. It's a nightmare. And I really want to say that our thoughts are with those families and with those poor people.
Russia denies it was involved, but Pentagon spokesman John Kirby said.
Our assessment is that this was a Russian strike and that they used a short-range ballistic missile to conduct it.
Most of the victims believed to be civilians trying to escape the Russian invasion. Wall beds made by Bestar and sold by Costco and Amazon are being recalled after a woman was killed by one of the beds falling on her. 60 other incidents related to falling beds have been reported. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. Overnight, with some clouds, brisk and chilly, there will be a spotty shower, low 46. During the day Saturday, partly sunny, breezy, cooler, high 57. With clearing Saturday night, quite chilly, the low near 40. Sunday, breezy and cool with some sun, high 52. And Monday, becoming milder with some sun, the high around 60. I'm AccuWeather's Kurt Bavinsky on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Okay, now through May, Rack and Fin Radio Standard every week, or two out of every 3 weeks, three out of every 4 weeks, covering some new products out there. I tried some of these late last fall. Tsunami. Everyone knows Tsunami, based up there on McKee Drive, Folsom Corporation. Their line. New line, it's now they're everywhere. The distribution is out there, of course. It's Tsunami. They really have a great road crew out there and delivery crew. The Salt X Hook Series, okay? Yeah, there's a lot of hooks out there. But again, following what I've seen over the years, the Tsunami philosophy, they saw the need for premium hooks at a fisherman-friendly price. These things have been absolutely devastatingly effective. Joining us online right now for a few minutes, very special guest is Nick Cicero. He is the national sales manager for Tsunami. They're going to talk some Salt X hooks. They're going to be at your favorite tackle dealer. Run out right after you. I'm telling you, these are the hooks for this year. Nick, thanks for joining us. How you doing, brother?
Good morning, Tom.
Nick, the hooks, I tried them out late October through November into December, various salt and freshwater applications. Nick, they have been fantastic. And at such friendly retail prices, Nick, you guys got a grand slam going.
Thanks, Tom. You know, we've looked at that category, hooks, for a very, very long time. And there's no question that there's a lot of really high-quality hooks out there. Every place we looked, we found one little thing here and one little thing there that we didn't like. And we thought that if we ever got the opportunity to put it all together and design hooks the way we wanted them designed, that we would go ahead and do it. And we've been working with this factory for a few years now, and we finally put it together. And I think what we have now is not just something that's very affordable, but probably the absolute best quality, consistent quality hooks that you can possibly buy.
Listen, those are the buzzwords, especially in the hook, what I call the metal business, consistent quality. Nick, you have inline circles, octopus bait circles, J-bait hooks, offset light circles. You have the whole itinerary there. You got the whole roster.
Yeah, we tried to improve, though, in places where we saw weaknesses. I'll give you, for instance, particularly today with braided lines, many of the premium hooks that are on the market have barb profiles that are far too high. You don't need that much barb. Actually, you want to keep the barb nice and low because it improves penetration. The other place that we definitely improved our hooks is at the eye.
Mm-hmm.
Many times when you're snelling hooks, particularly like turn down eye hooks, octopus hooks, bait holder style hooks, the eyes aren't finished properly and you'll scratch the leader material. If you take one of our hooks out of package, inspect it, you'll see how well they're finished. The eyes are tapered, They're ground. They fit perfectly. There's no high spot. There's no rough spot. It's the consistency of the way the work is done, and mm-hmm. and multiple inspections all the way through the process that gives us a consistent finished product. I think anybody that just pulls them out of package and looks at them will be more than impressed. Another thing we did, and again, it comes from hands-on fishing applications.
Right.
You look at most, say, 10, 20, 30 octopus hooks. Very popular hook shape, let's say, for something like cod fishing. The problem is most of the ones that are on the market, the wire diameter is just a little too thin, and fishing cod, heavy leader, heavy tackle, mm-hmm. I've seen them straighten, I've seen them break.
Oh, yeah.
Ours are about 15% thicker, so you'll find a little bit more wire in ours progressively through the lineup of hooks. They're just stronger for their hook size than most everything else that's on the market. Little stuff like that. We tried to improve every place we could.
Well, like you mentioned that the inspection process, I see it's a 15-step, 100% inspection process.
Well, yeah, Tom, it starts with the wire. You know, the problem with metallurgy is consistency.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where it starts. When the wire shows up, it's tested. And, you know, there's a real specific sort of tensile strength that we're looking for. Some wire can be very strong, but it can be brittle.
Brittle.
We like a wire that has enough spring to it where it recovers. And if it's stressed too much, I'd rather the hook open 5 or 10% rather than snap, because you can still land a fish mm-hmm. on a hook that's slightly open, but you'll never land one on a hook that breaks.
That's true.
So it's just all of that sort of stuff that we try to do that. And same thing with sharpening the points. Our points are, there's 7 different grinds that go into sharpening the point. They're not over sharpened. And when I say not over sharpened, they're very sharp, but they're not so sharp that you can curl the point on a rock or a barnacle or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Seen that happen. Yep. Nick, is that why? Yeah, hence the G7 razor point, 7 grind. Well, Nick, these are available now throughout the Northeast, I guess everywhere pretty much, correct?
Yeah, I think, you know, up and down the coast, you'll find them at a number of retailers and both mass merchants and independents. The real value, I think, you know, for your listeners, is the what we call the guide packs or the budget packs. You get a lot more value in those. And you'll see you get, in some cases, you know, 40 or 50 hooks compared to somebody else's 25 pack for less money.
Right.
They're just a great value, and the quality is, I think, you know, personally, knowing what I put into these and the amount of work and the consistency of quality, I think it's the best hook on the market.
Listen, let's add some ligature here. Nicky Sisser and I go back many years, back to the 80s. God rest his soul, Greg Mantoro. Fish with Nick on Greg Mantoro's Boat Tuna. I've watched Nick put a size 24 midge whatever, tricoast whatever, across the Muskinecong River under a bush and catch a trout that my former boss, Dick Wood, ace fly fisherman himself, just turned to me and said, "Did you see that? Nick, you remember that?"
That's a great little spot up there.
He just turned around. He turned around and walked back to the truck and said, "I think I'm going to have a cocktail." Well, Nick, let's try, if you have 1 minute, Nick, I know you're on a super stretch time budget. One, with the new fluke season opening up May 2nd, I hope you guys have a great supply of glass minnows, because I know the stores are stocked up, but that's going to be a monster, Nicky.
Yeah, you know, we're going to see a lot more back bay fishing, I guess, this year with the regulation changes. And the supply chain is starting to open up again. Most stores are really well stocked. And certainly we are. We had certainly some issues there for the last 2 years keeping stuff in stock. But we're back in good shape. And I don't think anybody's going to have any trouble finding what they're looking for at their favorite store this year.
And listeners, the Evict and the Saltex spinning rails, Mary Mother of God for the money, the best out there. Well, Nick, thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin. You take care, brother. Have a great season. Hope to see you on the water one of these days, Mr. Cicero.
Thank you, Tommy. I guess it's no opening day for you tomorrow with this kind of rain we've just had. But
it's slow. Okay, Nick, you take care, brother.
Good luck. Bye now.
Just a great guy. Known Nicky many years. And I'll tell you, same thing. Shout out to Jerry Gomber and Mikey, all those guys up there, Mike Fernandez. These gentlemen are hardcore fishermen. They've been in the industry, besides Folsom, for decades. They know the gig. These Saltex hooks, and again, I tried them. We fished them hard, fresh and salt water. Smaller sizes naturally for what we do, and they have been flawless. Okay, man, grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
If you're wondering what to do with your money in these unusual economic times, or if you have questions about retirement planning, IRAs, 401ks, or taxes, then listen to The Heart of Your Money, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG, featuring author and financial expert Joe Yakovich. The Heart of Your Money will focus on you, your family, and your financial portfolio. The Heart of Your Money with Joe Yakovich, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG, Talk Radio 95.5.
Don't rely on just your cell phone to connect to the internet. Get Xfinity Unlimited Mobile with 5G and fast, reliable home internet together for $24.95 a month when you qualify through the Affordable Connectivity Program and Internet Essentials. Get Unlimited Mobile with 5G and high-speed home internet with a modem included, all for just $24.95 a month. Act now to get this incredible deal so you can enjoy more streaming, gaming, chatting, and everything else that you love for less. With unlimited mobile and affordable home internet together, you don't have to settle for just one. Join the millions of customers who save by getting both together only with Xfinity. So don't wait. Connect to the things you love for less today. To learn more, go to Xfinity.com/free, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit an Xfinity store today. Restrictions apply. Limited to Internet Essentials customers meeting eligibility criteria and one unlimited line. Taxes and fees extra. Pricing subject to change. Savings based on pricing of top carriers. Xfinity Internet required. Reduced speeds after 20 gigabytes of usage.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's talk station.
Back inside Rack and Fin Radio, Saturday, April 9th. Happy New Year again. Season opens at a parallel universe of Rack and Fin Radio. The coast for New Year's celebration. Trout season opens statewide today. Okay, let's get to some fishing reports down here in Sea Isle Way. It's Mike Cunningham at Sea Isle Bait and Tackle right there on 4120 Park Road. Fish Alley! Mike Critter Cunningham, what is happening, brother?
Well, the weather was beating us up this week, that's for sure. But
yeah.
the big news for us is we had a couple of guys who snuck out Tuesday, you know, in between the rain squalls, looking for tog. And, you know, usually tog are kind of tough. Early April, I'm telling you what, these guys are telling me it was drop and reel. You know,
wow.
Both a couple of guys on it having their limit, you know, before they could drink their first beer. You know, it was something. I got a couple of pictures of some beautiful fish, and they weren't running 100 miles. We're talking 5-6
wow.
miles out, and they
this
were
is
hammering them. Now, the weirdest thing that I've heard in a long time, two different boats came to me and said the same thing. Yo, Critter, they didn't want these white crabs we spent all this money for. They were eating the greens better.
There
now,
you go.
Was that because it
wow.
was rainy? Is that because the water's cold? I don't know. But when you hear two people say something,
uh-huh.
that's weird.
Sure. Okay, Mike, what about the stripers in the back? What's the dealio?
They're still biting. Again, with that weather, the anglers slowed up. Therefore, the reports slowed up. But I still got reports this week. Again, more of a night bite. We didn't have the guys out there sitting during the day in the rain. Guys were sneaking out after dinner, after work, and jigging in some of the lights with some soft plastics. And they picked up some stripers. I can't say I heard of anything over 30 inches this week, but I'm sure somebody got one and just didn't tell
yeah,
the tackle shop guy.
That's the norm. That's still a lot of fun. Mikey, a little too early, because I caught him about the second week in April, a little too early for the Blues to show up.
I would say on the calendar, no. On the weather side and the water temperature side, yes. But according to the calendar, we should be starting to see some. But that water's a little chilly. We need some sun.
Right.
Get this rain out of here.
I hear it. Mike, real fast before I let you go, Thursday night, the fluke regs finalized. What do you think?
I love the extra days. I don't think anybody is going to complain about 2 weeks in the spring and 2 weeks in the fall. Is it the way that I would have done the regulation with that one-inch fish? I'll tell you who's mad. The divers. The divers are furious. How are you supposed to pick out a one-inch fish underwater? But I would have done something a little bit different, but nobody's going to complain about a little better spring fishery and a little better fall fishery.
There you go. Okay, Mike, you take care, man. Talk to you next week.
Thank you.
David. Let's hop it up to one-stop bait and tackle. 416 Atlantic Avenue, famous and infamous, Noel Feliciano. Noel, my brother, what's happening up your way?
Let me tell you something. What's not happening?
Oh.
The tog situation in the state of New Jersey, the hot spot is Atlantic City jetties. I've weighed in till today. Over 15 fish.
Boo!
The biggest one has been close to 4 pounds every fish. They're hitting clams, fresh clams.
Okay.
And green crabs. Tog jigs and regular high-low rigs are just a single. And then I have a rig that is called a one-stop specialty rig.
Uh-oh. I'm writing this down. The one-stop specialty rig. Gotcha. Go.
That's it. Tog. The tog whisper. And it whispers in his ear, you know, come on over here and get some of this.
Hey, Noel, what about the bass? What about the bass? Talk to me.
I just weighed in my first fish the past couple days ago. It was 28 and a half inches. The fish are on fire. The laughing gulls has showed up.
Oh,
and that's the sign.
That's it. That's it, brother. Yep.
This is the sign that once they show up, the bass are on the jetties of Atlantic City. Between those two species of fish are been hot and heavy. The one guy had 7 fish, 1 keeper. That's a good ratio, guys. I can't get to express this hard enough. But let me tell you, up and down the coast, one of the best fishing grounds is here. I had a fish that was 46 inches. Oof. He was an 81-year-old man. Was caught off the Mullica. I have the picture of that.
Good for you.
And I had a video, but I can't post a video. So so going from that, the picture is up, and the fish are here. So that between those two species of fish, it's keeping Atlantic City alive.
Now, well, don't forget, man, in 3 weeks, Flounder's going to open May 2nd on a Monday. You're going to have those Destroyer minis in there.
I already have them.
Oh, he's already has them, people. He already has them. Okay, well, we'll see you this week, brother. You take care.
God bless.
See you, man. Okay, let's bounce it up Route 9 to New Gretna, Allen's Dock right there. Oh, man, 5698 US 9 going northbound. You can't miss it right under the bridge. Make that right. Go down there. Join us on the line right now is Justin from Allen's Dock. See, we got going on Striper. See, we going on White Perch. And I'll tell you, in that Bass River right there, there are some whopper stomper catfish. That water's warming up. Justin, what do you got for us, my brother?
Oh, man, we had a hell of a day with perch the last couple of days here, even though the weather wasn't so great.
Bloodworms, grass shrimp, what's the deal?
Bloodworms are crushing it right now. I can't keep bloodworms in the store. The perch are eating them up, and the big perch are getting those bloodworms. I mean, the shrimp work great. But with these worms, we're getting big-size perch that you could take home and eat.
Just here's my thing with the grass shrimp. They're like peanut bunky. You look at them the wrong way, and they die. Yeah, bloods are the thing.
Tough.
Although we caught some on the fish bites. But that with that cold water, I think the bloods are going to be working better. Now, throw some areas at us, man. What do you got?
I mean, the Mullica up and down, I can't. You know how it is here on the Bass River. If I start naming names and dropping spots, I'm going to be in big trouble. But, Gene Kaczynski and his son were out there. They were crushing perch the other day on those bloodworms around these secret spots, and it's been good.
Dropping tide or incoming?
I like the incoming tide, and right into that slack high is really probably the best. I thought low would funnel them into some holes, which is possible. but I think they like a little bit of that salt water.
I hear it too. We're talking to Justin out here at Allen's Dock on Route 9, northbound, southbound, right there at the Parkway Auto Repair Center. Get in there. They are kicking. Well, Jay, for the bass, what are you hearing? What's the tactic?
My guys on the dock are all using these umbrellas rigs. We're getting hooked up with Niners umbrella rigs hopefully soon and stocking them because they're great.
Now, anything in the river itself or in the back bay that you're hearing on the bass?
For sure. There's some shorts, and I bet you there's some keepers if you know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, throw it out the store hours, man. Are you guys open full-time now? What's the gig?
All the time. We are here 6 o'clock to 6 o'clock. We're only closed on Tuesdays.
Okay, man, we'll see you soon. Wait, whoa. You're closed on Tuesday? What's up with that?
We're closed on Tuesday. That's it. I know. I couldn't believe it myself.
Okay, hey, give Big George Kurtz our regards.
I will.
Okay, we'll catch you later. See you next week.
Thanks, Tom P. Yep.
Let's wrap it up there on Barnegat Bay. Creekside Outfitters, Route 9 in Waretown. Captain Jeff. Ever Fisherman Evans is on the rack of Vin Liners to tell us what's going on with some bass up in Barnegat Bayway. Jeffy, what do you got, man?
Hey, Tom. We're doing pretty well. The schoolie-sized bass in the back bay on the soft plastics and the jig heads, as well as the little 4-inch Rapala X-Wraps.
Oh.
4-inch poppers.
Okay, give us the color on the plastics. Paddle tail, grub tail, what's the dealio?
Chartreuse and pink, sir.
Chartreuse. Ain't no use if it ain't chartreuse. And AC/DC from Fly on the Wall, sink the pink. Hey, pink and chartreuse are hot. Are you hearing anything along the jetties out there at the inlet, the South Jetty on tog, Jeff?
Yeah, the guys coming into the store are starting to get some tog on the green crabs as well as some clams.
Okay, now you got green crabs in stock?
We do have some green crabs.
All right. Okay, man, you there? You there?
I'm here.
Talk to me.
On the offshore wrecks, the guys have been getting a mix of tog, some good-sized tog. I heard of a couple over 10 pounds.
Whoa.
And some keeper cod.
Keeper bacala?
Absolutely.
Oh, man. Tell them to send some donations my way. Okay, Captain Jeff, what are the hours now up there at Creekside?
I believe our hours are from 6 to 6, 7 days a week there.
Okay, Cap, we'll see you on the water, man.
All right, Tom.
Take care. That'll do it for this week on Rock and Fin Red. Again, Happy New Year. Open the day of trout season today. Plenty of fish out there. Like I said earlier, man, they really loaded up. Next 3 weeks in South Jersey, most of the waters will be hit the next 3 to 4 weeks. Go to njfishandwildlife.com. All the information there. They're loading it up. Hey, man, got to beat the cormorants and the ospreys, but get out there. Plenty of big fish, plenty of standard stocky-sized fish. Get out and enjoy. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. Remember, the limit on the trout, 6 fish, 9 inch minimum. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio. So, bitch and moan what you want. The fluke seasons and sea bass seasons and regs are set. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio.